This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's 10 o'clock. Let's tee it up. It's going to be an hour of golf talk, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. Here in studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, alongside PGA Life member Bill Berger, longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears, and Illinois Golf Hall of Famer Len Zien was with us here in studio last week, but he's with us in conversation this week. We've got Len on the line, and hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Len Zien. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning. Yeah, we're here at the John Deere Classic, and our friend Nick Hardy finished his third round. He played all by himself in the third round as the first man off the tee. Didn't do all that well, but it was great he made the cut.
Well, he's been a great story this year, and I think a lot of pride with all of the local connections here to Nick Hardy. And a little surprised, actually. He's been on, I'd say, a bit of a hot streak, so surprised that this one didn't go quite as well. But, hey, you know, he's got the rest of Saturday in front of him, Len. There's something to be said for getting in early, although it doesn't work out that well on the paycheck.
Yeah, Nick was shot even par 71, and of course at TPC Deer Run, an even par score. Most PGA Tour events, but especially here, that won't gain you much ground. But you know, he has been on a roll. I mean, he lost in a playoff in a Corn Ferry Tour event at the Glen Club, followed that up by making a strong showing in U.S. Open sectional qualifying, and eventually got into the field and tied for 14th there at the Country Club, and then of course he tied for 8th last week at Hartford. So he's made some real good progress in his career as a rookie on PGA Tour. He had to really, I tell you, he had to scramble a lot yesterday to make the cut. He was kind of fighting it down the stretch, but he made the cut on the number. Last man in means first man out. So he was off at before 7 o'clock this morning, but he had beautiful weather, and it's going to be another beautiful day here. We had a little bit of rain delays yesterday, but nothing major. And looking forward to some real good golf today.
Great. Well, I know we've got a lot more coming up on the John Deere Classic, and really, as we turn in July, it's a packed hour of golf talk. There's certainly some recap of the Illinois Senior Open that wrapped up, was won by Mike Small earlier this week at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. Certainly, Rory, I know you got a chance to catch up with Kevin Streelman. And in a little bit, we're going to bring on our first guest as well to talk about his book, David Berner. So lots to look forward to in the hour ahead.
Well, you're right. I did catch up with Kevin Streelman out at the John Deere Classic. You know, I was out there for round one on Thursday, and then headed back here and let Len Zien head out there on Friday and replace us so that Golfers on Golf was represented all 4 days. And we're going to talk a lot more about Kevin Streelman and what he's had to say in the second half of the show. But I wanted to let people hear a little bit from Kevin Streelman right now, who is playing this weekend at the John Deere Classic.
I play all their irons and wedges. Their new driver coming out this fall, I'm very excited about. We were testing it at Bay Hill, and Gary and I were seeing really fast ball speed, so we were pretty excited about that. It is a family. It's one of my greatest decisions I've ever made was calling Tim Clark after I left Cleveland in 2010. And been with them the last 12 years. We've helped develop the brand, the product, brought it back to a world-class level. And, see what Padre did last week and Gary did a few years ago. And it's just exciting. On top of it all, being from Chicago, it's extra meaningful to me. And I love Tim and Ron and Duffy and Lindsay. And just, like I said, they're my brothers and sisters. And I give Tim a hard time. I say he could be my dad. But what they do for me and the Illinois Junior Golf Association and what they do for Wheaton Warrenville South, my high school, we got them bags this year. And just like grassroots stuff like that, that makes a difference. And so I'm proud to be a part of that.
That is Kevin Streelman. I asked him as I was standing there looking at his Wilson Tour golf bag in the interview area. We talked a little bit about Wilson, and he's making some references there to General Manager Tim Clark, who has been here in studio with us. And seems like there's a lot coming up with Wilson, including a brand new driver this fall. I don't think there's going to be driver versus driver 3 on the Golf Channel, but there may be a new Wilson driver to look at this fall in all the stores and before the holidays get here. So we'll have to get a hold of Tim Clark and keep an eye out for that. But we'll hear more from Kevin Streelman talking about the majors and also talking about the LIV Golf Series that he will not be a part of at any point of his career coming up in the second half of the program. So it was good to catch up with him and Nick Hardy. And Kevin made the cut. Also, Highwoods Patrick Flavin made the cut as well. And unfortunately, Doug Gim, who grew up in Arlington Heights, though, missed the cut by a couple of shots. I watched Doug play a few holes, and he seemed to have a case of the rights with his driver. There was more than one volunteer on the tee box on two or three holes that I saw him play with the big paddle pointing dead right. And Doug looking a little frustrated on the golf course. But anyway, we'll hope he gets it turned around. And there's an exciting weekend of golf at the John Deere Classic.
Well, we were speaking with Claire Peterson, the longtime tournament director for the John Deere Classic, during the show last week. And you probably caught us talking about the fact that this is Claire's last go at it, retiring after a very successful run of really elevating that tournament. And it is known for dramatic finishes. The magic happens right there. It's part of their marketing campaign because it's true. And I know we'll be looking forward to a pretty magical finish one way or another. It just always happens that way. And, you know, Len, being out on the grounds there, I got to ask you, we're sensing the magic of really being further removed from the depths or from the peak of the COVID pandemic. And is it looking more and more like the John Deere Classic that we all knew and loved in terms of the fan interaction and the fan presence? And does it feel like it's fully back?
Pretty much so. Yeah, pretty much so. The first day crowd, I thought the first day crowd, from what I could gather on TV, didn't look like it had been in the past. But there was a good crowd yesterday, and they, you know, interesting is they stayed late to watch JT Poston finish. He's been dominating the tournament so far. He's not a big name, a real catchy name on the tour, but he's gone 62-65 and leads by 4. Through 36 holes in what is a real kind of a interesting leaderboard. Really, it's not right now. You know, through half the tournament, it doesn't have much in the way of the big names. But it's in a tie for third is a Monday qualifier and another sponsor exemption. Chris Gotteroff from Rutgers. He's 5 shots off the lead, and so it's been an interesting thing. Patrick Flavin had a great second round of 66, so it's good to have a good local contender in there. He's the best of our locals so far, and his bid to try to squeeze out a PGA Tour card by getting in through tournaments, either through sponsor exemptions or Monday qualifiers, is so far looking pretty good.
Well, we love rooting for the locals. We love rooting for the underdogs. So sometimes when the names are less familiar on the scoreboard, that's okay. We can see what story emerges. But we'll have more on the John Deere Classic and more on the world of golf in just a little bit. We'll be back after our first break.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit kleincreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app.
I had never been had, you know, forced to be held out because of an injury in my career. So having to sit out of golf for a little bit, I think it just kind of refreshed my mind. And I wasn't thinking about golf for a while. And when I came back to touching a club, I think the talent just showed again. You know, it's like sometimes you get a little stale. You're out there, you know, doing everything you can. And every night you go to bed, you're like, okay, what can I do tomorrow to get better? And I wasn't thinking about that for a good 30 days. So it's like, I think it just refreshed my, recalibrated my, you know, hunger to and get up every morning and do the best I can.
All right, we're back on Golfers on Golf. And you just heard about recalibrated hunger to do the best. So certainly, Kevin Streelman's done a lot of that. And more to come on Kevin Streelman, more to come on the John Deere Classic, Rory. I know, you know, when we think about the John Deere Classic, these finishes sometimes seem like they were written by a novelist, a fiction writer. In fact, if someone had written it, you know, might be challenged for being too far-fetched, some of these finishes. But I think storytelling in golf is part of one of the ways it's shared and really made special.
Yeah, and, you know, Nick Hardy there, of course, referring to the break that he took from an injury, and it gave him a chance to recharge his batteries. And we've seen what he's done, NV5, Canadian Open, U.S. Open, Hartford, and as Len Z mentioned, even par round today. So hopefully he'll finish strong tomorrow. But, you know, Ed, you make a good point, and we're pleased to have with us our next guest. He's done a lot of different media-related things over the years, but he's now also the author of a golf book called The Sandman. And with that, we welcome into Golfers on Golf Dave Berner. Dave, how are you this morning?
Hey, thanks, guys. I greatly appreciate it. You know, Hardy should be taking a break in reading, too. He should have read the novel.
Well, you know what? He hit a bunker shot on Thursday after missing the par 3 16th. And, It wasn't too bad. He left it about 13, 14 feet from the hole, but he didn't leave it in a good position because he three-putted from there. And otherwise, he'd be a couple lower on the board. But, Dave, with all the different things you've done career-wise, tell us the thoughts about getting into writing a golf book.
Yeah, you know, I've written many books over the years, fiction and memoir, and my golf buddies, the guys that I play with on a regular basis, kept asking me for years now, so when are you going to write a golf book? When are you going to write a golf book? And I kept saying, I don't know if I want to write a golf book. I'm not sure if I can write a golf book. I'm not. Well, I had an incident that happened to me personally. It was part of an inspiration for this book at a golf course that I play in the Chicago area, Phillips Park, from time to time, out in Aurora. There was a gentleman who used to show up at one green, a homeless man who used to show up and cheer people on. And he was the sweetest guy in the world. And we kind of all got to know him a little bit, not real deeply, but we certainly got to know him. He was the inspiration for this book. I don't know where he is or what has ever happened to that man, but he is the inspiration for Sandman, which is a story about a young boy who has some great talent in the game of golf. And he sort of gets this relationship going with this homeless man by never really meeting him, but only knowing his background. And the two of them kind of go on a metaphysical adventure here that allows them to really see what the game of golf is all about.
Well, Dave, you know, it's amazing sometimes where the inspiration for golf or a round of golf or anything comes from when you're out on the golf course. But you know, it sounds like here that the people, yourself and your group that met this man, and then you've been able to put this into words, so to say, by creating the book. But at the same time, I just think it's interesting how people get different inspirations in golf to either A, improve their game, B, make the most of their time on the golf course that day, or, you know, potentially see where they go and play and how good they get in the sport.
Yeah, we all know, you guys know more than anybody, really, that golf is more than a sport. I mean, it's a walk in the park. It's a mindful sort of exercise, all kinds of things. And my story, Sandman, even involves St. Andrews, which, of course, is in the news these days with the Open being there this year. And a caddy that worked at St. Andrews actually read the book and did some help with me with some research. Mark Mullins, I greatly appreciate his help. We all talked about that. We all talked about the fact that golf is more than a sport, more than a game. And you know, we get a lot of lip service on that, but I think it's really true. If you play it on a regular basis, you know that it's a deeper sort of almost a metaphor for life in a lot of ways. And I think that's what this book talks about. Even if you're not a golfer, I think you'll find this book to be something you will enjoy because it really talks about why and how we live our lives.
Well, there's no doubt. Certainly, becomes cliche at time to say that in 4 hours you can learn more about someone in a round of golf than you might otherwise at lunch or sitting around the business table negotiating. And
That's true.
You know, I think what's so fun about the game of golf, too, is, there's the game and beyond the game, our courses can solve problems for communities, can solve needs for open space, stormwater retention. And we see that. And yet we learned, and that's on the actual physical golf course side. And yet we saw even during COVID things we learned, you know, part of, I think, this whole increase in demand for golf comes because people have learned the value that it has for mental health. I mean, there's physical well-being, there's all the activity that goes with it, but there is an element of therapy to golf and really reconnecting with yourself, reconnecting with nature that I think is part of the formula people have rediscovered.
Yeah, you know, there's an article, I think, in a recent Golf Digest, if I'm not mistaken, maybe online, that was all about that, talking about the mental health aspects of golf. The great golf writer Tom Coyne, he was just wonderful enough to read this book while it was in its process and his blurb for it and give me a lot of endorsement for it. So I appreciate that. But he even brought that up. He calls it sort of a wistful kind of charming story. And I think if we sometimes forget about whether we're going to hit that six iron really well or whether we're going to score really well and we sort of fall into the natural rhythm of the game. Sometimes the score just happens, you know, and we all know that. And we've heard that so many times. And you're right, sometimes it's a cliche about this. But it's so ingrained in the game that I think we have to be reminded of it from time to time.
Well, I think one of the joys of the game that that I think people discover, certainly you have that feeling of hitting a great shot, but then eventually you learn the joy of how to share the game of golf. And I think on this show we've learned there's almost limitless ways in which people can share the game of golf. We follow the best players in the world. We see them share it through their competitive endeavors. But then, you know, we see instructors that will share the game of golf through their teaching about the golf swing. Yet here at this show, every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, we're here in part because we love the game. But I think we love sharing the game with people. And I guess when you picked up the pen or sat down at the keyboard, clearly there's something that you wanted to share about the game of golf.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nose. I mean, I was reluctant, as I said before, to write the book because I really didn't know what I wanted to write about. And there were so many books out there that have written about the same thing in a lot of ways. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But when this incident happened with me, more than an incident, it was really somebody that I had known about for a lot of years. You know, it's not his story, but he's inspired it. And that was what you're talking about, that human connection that comes from the game. So the book Sandman truly is about that human connection and our connection with nature and our connection with ourselves. You know, what's Bobby Jones, you know, famous line, the game of golf is 6 inches, the golf course is 6 inches, right? The space between your ears.
Right.
I mean, we all know that's true. And Sandman reflects on that a lot, I think. And again, I think if you're a golfer, you would love it. I think if you're not a golfer, I think you would like it in terms of that. There's a great relationship with the mother and the son in the story and a great relationship with the people at the golf course, you know, even the superintendent, you know, the turf guy is a character in this book. So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you 100%. And what you guys do every Saturday, you know, it helps to sort of move that story along, you know, the story of golf and what it all means to us. So that's greatly appreciated.
You know, Dave, what I really enjoyed here is maybe some of the play on words, so to speak, and different things that are written with references to places. And I'm sitting here and I can't help but chuckle looking at page 18 or early in the book, talking about a character named Nancy. And it says, yeah. Nancy had always been behind the grill counter at Old Elm. I'm not sure Nancy has ever really been at the counter at Old Elm, or of course, maybe she is today. But, you know, it's just little references. And I think people that have played golf in different places around Chicago and understand the Chicago golf scene and things about different clubs in the area will enjoy some of the subtle references and the play on words that you put in the book.
Yeah, and the reference to Old Elm, obviously, that's a golf course, you know, famous, you know, well-known course we've all talked about in Chicago for many years that people remember. But the story, I used Old Elm for this fictionalized golf course because I wanted to play off of that a little bit. The character Nancy comes from somebody that I know. It is not her story. It is not based totally on her. But I use the name because she is a sweet, wonderful woman at this golf course that I play at from time to time. And you know the kind of person who works at the counter where you go up to, you know, when you're going to the 10th tee and they just keep talking to you and you feel like you're going to lose your tee space because, you know. Well, that's Nancy. She's such a sweetheart. So, you know, she was a little bit of an inspiration for that character. But yeah, there are some touches through this book that relate to things, not only in Chicago, but things that everybody knows about golf around the world, around, you know, if you've done any traveling, of course, you kind of know some of the great golf courses. There are some references and some little touches in that book about that, too.
Yeah, some great references. There's people talking about players and, of course, the caddy saying, McIlroy, you gotta like Rory, right? Yeah. Well, you know what?
Hopefully he's talking about a different Rory. Rory Spears.
No, yeah. Not me. No. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, you know what, Dave? As I go through this and went through this, it was just I don't know, but perhaps it's me because I've been fortunate to play golf in a lot of different places and know a lot of things about different clubs. But to pick up on some of the things that you wrote, some of the ties to various places, not only around Chicago, but other parts of the world, I really found it amusing.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that there are some wonderful references that a lot of people who play golf, not only in Chicago but all over, will get. Again, it's a novel. It's fiction, but there's a lot of touches in there that come from from truth. In fact, I had somebody read the book who, of course, I play off regularly, and he says, "Wait a minute, you made the superintendent this kind of nasty guy." And I'm like, "Well, it's not the real superintendent. It's fiction." I keep trying to remind him that. You know? I'm not ripping on the guy. It's made up. But there's a lot of truth in it, too. There's a lot of reflection from real moments in golf and real places in golf. There's even a reference in there to Sam Snead, which was one of my dad's favorite players of all time. And so there's little things like that throughout the book.
Yeah. Well, Dave Berner, author of The Sandman, A Golf Tale, a great book with all sorts of interesting golf references that I think anybody who loves the game will certainly enjoy. It's not a hard read, and you know, there's nothing worse than when you pick up a golf book and you read that there's before you even start that there's going to be 500 and some pages of words upon words, and you almost get a little burnout before you even make the turn halfway through the book. So anyway, Dave, tell people how to get this book. It's a great read, and I think that, you know what, if you're on a trip with a few other guys and you're looking for something to read on that golf trip, whether it's in the back of the SUV or whether it's on the aircraft or wherever you're going, The Sandman will be an amusing piece of journalism. So tell everybody how they can find it. How can they get it?
Yeah, and let me reference the idea of it being a short book. It's a novella, and there's a reason why it's called a novella, because it's, you know, only about 100 pages. So it's something you can read in a sitting. And I did that on purpose, mainly because a lot of people don't want to read 500-page tomes anymore. But I also think that the length of the book, it matches the sort of spirit of the book, too. But, yeah, how to get it. Amazon, obviously, always. You can go to your bookstore, your local bookstore. If you frequent a local bookstore, and God bless you if you do, that's great, and they can order it for you if they don't have it in stock. Some Chicago area bookstores already have it on their shelves. Amazon has it. You can go through Goodreads, many other places, all the places that have books, you can find it. If you're someone who goes to like IndieBound or whatever, you'll find it there too. So yeah, I'd love for people to read the book. I always love to hear from readers too. You know, reach out to me. I'd love to hear what people think. That's always a real connection. I love to connect with the readers. So I hope you read Sandman, and I hope you enjoy it.
All right. Dave Berner, thanks so much for joining us here this morning on Golfers on Golf Radio. And I'm looking forward to digging back in with my sand wedge and finishing up the pages I haven't seen in The Sandman, A Golf Tale. Dave Berner and folks, a great gift for any golfer. And Dave, thanks again for joining us here on Golfers on Golf Radio.
Oh, this was a 100% pleasure, Rory. Thanks a lot, everybody. Appreciate him a lot.
Thanks.
Okay.
Congrats on the book.
Yeah.
Good luck.
All right. 10:29, we're going to take our next break, and we're going to have a little roundtable. We're going to hear from Nick Hardy. We're going to hear from Kevin Streelman, and we're going to spend some time talking about this week's regular PGA Tour stop in the state of Illinois, the John Deere Classic, right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit KleinCreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Misswood is the place to go. Misswood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Misswood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Misswood's new honey from the bee farm at Misswood Farms.
Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks not only has a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse, complete with a new stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology, so you can get all the stats and numbers you need to know about your golf game. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351 or online visit heritageoaksgc.com.
I wish the weekend went a little better still. I mean, it was in that regard, I think it was a great experience being in that spot, headed into a weekend of a major. And I look forward to being into many more of those, you know, spots and chances going forward. So it was definitely the first time, but I'm hoping for many more.
All right, and that was the voice of Nick Hardy, Northbrook native. Not his best performance at the John Deere Classic, but he's been playing great since coming back from his injury. And we're playing fast. We're already into the back nine of our hour of golf talk, a little bit past 10:30 here in studio. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears and Bill Berger, and we've got from the TPC Deer Run, Len Zeem with us. So the foursome is intact, and you know, guys, looking at that leaderboard, the TPC Deer Run seems to lend itself to a lot of birdies, a lot of excitement, great finishes, as we've talked about, 15 under through the first two rounds as the lead. And, you know, Billy, you and I played out there a few years back, and I think having watched years of some of the low scores, Bill, you know, you can play a bit, and you played well that day. But I remember walking off the course, you said, boy, I thought that course might be a little bit easy. What do you think? It's not that easy, is it?
No, you know, about heading down there a few times, I don't know why I never even tried to play there. It didn't work out for me, but I always thought the way they blew the doors out that the golf course. And to be honest with you, you know, I'm no par buster every day, you know, any way, shape, or form. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I always played the tougher golf courses a little better, and maybe that stopped me from going down there. And that day that we played, I was amazed that, you know, that's not a
no pushover.
That's not a real easy golf course. And it just shows how good those guys are now. I mean, they go down and blow the doors off that place. It still amazes me looking at scores there.
Well, they should have a marketing campaign around that. These guys are good.
It might work, you know. And you know, Billy, out there, if you're gonna play well and you're gonna be running well, you better run like a deer, because
Rory,
not many things do. But you know, I'm looking at the leaderboard, and Nick Hardy today already in the house, even par. Kevin Streelman is one over through, I think, about six or seven holes. Patrick Flavin has just teed off. He has parred the first hole, which is better than I saw him do on Thursday when he came out and pulled his tee shot in the left rough, put his approach shot in the right bunker, and had his blast out of the bunker end up on the back fringe, and it was a good bogey save for him. But he came right back with a birdie on the par 5 second, and it seemed to get him going at that point. Len Zeme, you better get out of the media center and start cheering on our guys. Sounds like they need some help today.
Yeah, I want to walk a bit today. I want to spend a lot more time out there. It's a great day to do it. And of course, Patrick and Kevin are playing pretty close together. I mean, they started the day just a shot apart. So that'll be my project for the afternoon. I'll catch those guys on the backside.
Well, Len, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on what you saw yesterday, and perhaps what you might be seeing as you get out of the media center here after the show and get out on the golf course, because you know the tournament is a week earlier this year, and everyone thought that with it being tied into a holiday weekend that people would have the time to go out to the tournament, might enjoy themselves a little bit more, knowing they probably don't have to go to work on Monday. And I was surprised to see what I thought was a low turnout for a Thursday, maybe one of the quieter Thursdays that I have ever seen at the John Deere Classic, especially since the championship moved over to TPC Deer Run. There was a little buzz lacking, and you know, you look around and you think, boy, did they have to cap attendance today due to COVID? Well, no, they didn't. And I didn't see the crowd that I was really expecting on Thursday. But again, maybe there'll sort of be a different attendance pattern with people having you know, not only the weekend off, and maybe they had part or all of yesterday off, and the fact that maybe many of them don't have to go to work on Monday.
Yeah, you know, it was a funny one here. The moving the tournament, you know, a week sooner than it usually is, I didn't think it would have much bearing on it. The one thing that is a bit puzzling, I don't think it could be helped, but there were some of the better names that were going to be in the field. Steve Stricker had entered, and he pulled out, I gather, from a minor injury. It's not apparently a reflection of the serious problem he's had earlier in the year, but he pulled out, and he was a three-time champion, very popular player here. Jason Day was going to come back. He pulled out with an injury right before the tournament was to start. Those are good names. You got to have a few of those kind of people in there. Now the defending champion, Lucas Glover. He didn't make the cut. It's never, the field here at the John Deere has never been loaded with stars or anything. It's just been good top young players playing with a lot of spirit, and that's what's going to happen over the weekend. But the field does seem to be lacking in somewhat at least some of the star power that it's had in the past. Which is puzzling, because I can't attribute it to the date. This community, mid-major is very rare that a tournament in an atmosphere like this can last as long as the John Deere Classic has. This is their 51st year, and it's going to get good support over the weekend, and I'm sure it'll keep on going. Hate to see Claire Peterson leave as the tournament director. He's done a wonderful job in bringing the tournament to where it is. But I think overall the tournament's healthy. It's a little kind of a different this year. It's hard to kind of describe it. It just is a kind of a different feel when you're out there. Not a big deal, but I'm excited to be here, and I think that most of the fans are as enthusiastic as they've always been.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I believe Bubba Watson was promoted to be there, and he is not there. And Webb Simpson, another name that they promoted, ended up missing the cut, even though he was under par for the first 2 days. Then you look at a player that John Deere is now sponsoring and has the John Deere logo on his golf bag, Daniel Berger. And Daniel Berger, whether it was illness or something, he pulled out as well. And, you know, I understand from the tournament staff that he is going to make this up to John Deere in some shape or form, which has not been determined yet down the road. But, you know, you look at the press release from their media day 6-7 weeks ago, and a lot of the names that they promoted to be here just simply aren't there.
Yeah, yeah, that's that always can. I mean, I don't think we've made a big deal out of the absence of some of these players, but I think that the real golf fans know that that some good name players who would help the field that just aren't there this year. But you know, it's the out in Florida, the Honda Classic is a victim of that most every year, and it survives just fine. It's kind of got a tough date as the first event of the Florida Swing. Here, this one, you know, not far off between the British Open and the U.S. Open. That's a time when people would maybe want to take some time off. You could understand they want to rest, but this tournament's hung on, and I wish it the best. I think it'll be on for a long time.
You know, Len, one of the things that we hear out of PGA Tour players, especially ones that are going to stay with the PGA Tour and they're not going over to the LIV series of golf events, and we hear players use the word loyalty to the PGA Tour, loyalty to our tournaments. And there are players out there that got their start in professional golf even before they were professional by getting a sponsor exemption from the tournament and from people like Claire Peterson over the years. And last year, in this tournament's 50th anniversary, some of the ones that preached loyalty weren't there. And at the same time, here we are this year, and all the players will tell you how great Claire Peterson is. A couple of them even told me he's probably the best tournament director on tour, even though they didn't really want to go on the record as saying that. But they will tell you privately that. And it's Claire's last year's as the tournament director, even though he'll be consulting and doing some things down the road. But the people that benefited from a start in the John Deere Classic, not to be here last year, not to be here this year, don't stand out there at press conferences and preach loyalty, because I'm not always seeing a lot of it from some of the guys who keep mentioning the word loyalty.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the two that pop to my mind, of course, are Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau, who have won here. They got their first wins here, and it's really spurred them to the top of golf. And they haven't, you know, they really, DeChambeau came back the year after he won and didn't play well, had some injury problems. Spieth won twice and hasn't been back since. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing to see that. I'm sure that those two players have reasons for not coming, but boy, they would sure give the tournament a shot in the arm if they do come again.
Yeah, Justin Thomas has taken a pass 7 straight years, and when I talked to him in 2018 at Belrive on Media Day and asked him if he'd be coming up to the John Deere, the place that gave him a sponsor exemption when he was in college at Alabama, he looked at me like I was from Mars. He made it very clear that he wasn't coming back to the John Deere, and it didn't seem like he wanted to come back anytime soon. And, you know, here's a guy that's preaching loyalty every press conference he's in, and in all honesty, I'm not really seeing a lot of it from him towards the John Deere Classic that gave him a start even before he turned pro.
Yeah, this
Tiger also promised that he would come back too, and he hasn't done that yet in 25 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's you can find a number of those kind of players, but you know, I choose to take the stance here that this tournament is it's not about the players who are disloyal or not coming back. It's an event where there's been a lot of first time winners. Payne Stewart, most notably, was a first time winner way back when, and you know, that kind of trend has been a theme for this tournament. And look on it as you're going to see the best of the young players before they've made it. And it's a great done great charity work for the community, so it's well worth attending on all levels, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, there's a special relationship with certain individuals in that that event. We've talked about some of these storylines. Nice to see that early in his round today, Zach Johnson, who I'm sure a bunch of people are rooting for, has got what appears to be a couple birdies and has moved up 13 spots already. So he's tied for 34, but on the move. So we watch for those fun things. And again, we've talked about the Nick Hardys. Kevin Streelman, too. You know, certainly a lot of connections there. I'm going to have the honor later this month of, on behalf of the Illinois Junior Golf Association, making Kevin Streelman the first inductee to the Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame. That's coming up at Cantini later this month, and some information on that event at the Illinois Junior Golf Association website, IJGA.org. Yeah, Rory, I know over the years you've had a chance to really get in a lot of conversations with Kevin Streelman, and he continues to be available to you.
Yeah, and I talked with Kevin out on Thursday at the John Deere Classic and asked him about the British Open coming up. I've known that it's a tournament that he loves to play in, and unfortunately he's not in the field. He discussed that and also the fact that he's going to stick around with the PGA Tour.
Not in the Scottish or British, so I'm kind of sad about that, to be honest. I missed by a shot last year to get exempt into this year. I think I finished T19 and the top 15 get in the next year, and I knew it would be at St. Andrews this year. It would have been a special one to get in. Played all right at Southern Hills. You know, I had a nice Sunday. I think me and Justin had the low rounds there on Sunday, so I played nicely there. But yeah, it always stinks to not be in the majors, to be honest, especially the British. That's probably my favorite one of them all, especially at St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm. How hard do you got to drive now to at least try to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm sitting in the low 100, 110 or 112 or something right now. So played nice last week, finished with three straight 67s. And, you know, to shoot 69 today and feel like I didn't play well is always a good sign, you know. So two games of ebbs and flows. Still doing this at age 43 and a half and feel real blessed to be able to do that. So you just got to take it day by day and tournament by tournament and keep working on stuff that, you know, makes you better.
Well, I know the commissioner announced some changes in the playoff format. It sounds like not as many guys in it next year, and but more money on the table. So will you be driving hard to try to at least get to Olympia Fields next year?
Yeah, Olympia Fields is always special to get around Chicago for me. I think it's all real positive. You know, the things we're seeing from the PGA Tour. To me, it was never even a discussion to venture off into discussions with LIV. I think it's exhibition golf. I think there's no historical merit to it. I think it's just guys grabbing money, and I don't necessarily blame them for doing that if they feel it's the best for their careers and their jobs. But I also don't think that they can, you know, I think they need to understand how the world and the golf historians are going to look at their careers as well. Mm-hmm. Won't be the same.
Yeah, I know, you know, guys who had early starts even, somebody would ask Tiger Woods about his day, and he'd say, well, they gave me a 7:10 tee time in the morning, and I had to get up at 4 a.m. to be ready. And, you know, you're out here, this is still an athletic competition. You may not be getting hit like a guy in the NFL does, but still, you got to be at your best athletically, and sometimes I'm sure that's difficult if you got to go off the tee box at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I guess with their shorter fields, you know, stuff like that, they won't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, playing shotguns and 54-hole no-cut events isn't real tournament golf either. So it's their decision. It's their choice. And I think the PGA Tour is just going to flourish that much more because of it.
Mm-hmm. So could you ever see yourself going out to that tour at some point? There, some people are suggesting the guy's looking for a gap before 50, maybe, and are hoping things get settled by the time they're 50.
No, I would never be interested in playing on that.
Well, no minced words from Kevin Streelman. He would never be interested. And, you know, Rory, you kind of wandered into that. He set you up, put it on a tee for you, saying he's 43 and a half, but who's counting? But, right, that gap before 50, which becomes a magic number because of the opportunity at that point to really play on the seniors tour.
Well, he's looking forward to playing on the Champions Tour when he hits 50, and he says if he gets a few light years of golf where he's not playing as much, he's looking forward to spending time with his kids. They're going to be at that age where they'll probably be more involved in activities and stuff. He might want to go to their games, whether it's junior golf or Little League baseball or whatever it is, that it might be at that time. And, you know, you talked about the Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame, and you know, Kevin mentioned to me, he said there's been other organizations, junior golf organizations, that have reached out to him, wanting him to do things for them, and, you know, like AJGA. And he said, you know, you guys didn't do much for me when I needed the help. So he's taken a pass on that, but he said the Illinois Junior Golf Association always gave him a place to play, and he's going to respond by showing his support with your upcoming project. And he said, you know, one of the first things I did when I got out on tour and I made some money, he goes, my mother's car had worn out from all the Illinois Junior Golf tournaments that she drove me to. So I said, what kind of car do you want? And he goes, I bought my mom a car with one of my first big checks on tour. That's how I spent my money. And I know he's really looking forward to that day out of Cantini.
Well, you talked a little bit earlier in the segment here about loyalty and giving back, whether it's loyalty to the John Deere Classic or, in this case, loyalty to a junior golf organization that gave you a place to play. And, you know, as we've had the chance to work together, our board, I'm privileged to be the president of the Illinois Junior Golf Association currently, and our board's worked in putting this Hall of Fame event together along with the IJGA staff. And Kevin has graciously made a commitment, a pretty significant financial commitment, to support tournament golf in the season ahead, and we'll see how that continues in the years ahead. But it's the type of thing that probably is not going to get covered by Golf Digest or lots of other outlets, and yet it's done even without massive media recognition to go and help support other juniors following your footsteps.
You know, that going way back, Kevin Streelman is now 43 and a half. You know, I used to like you, Kevin. I remember going to the White Pines Golf Dome when our friend Mike Monroe was in charge and had the White Pines Golf Dome, and him pointing out to me this high school kid. He said, look at this kid. He said, this guy is really good. He said, he is going to be a player. And so that was the first time really looking, remembering Kevin Streelman in high school. And, you know, Kevin,
he was right.
Now you're 43 and a half years old. I don't know.
Good thing you and I haven't aged, Billy.
Well, there was another guy that used to hit at the White Pines Golf Dome. Saw him out playing golf at the John Deere Classic this week. Mark Hensby, who also used to sleep in his car overnight to get the first tee time at Cog Hill. So, you know, it's amazing where guys end up later on. We're going to take a quick break here and hear from our friends at DuPage Golf.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Golfers on Golf Radio. It's this round has been flying here, but we haven't holed out yet. With Bill Berger, we've got Len Ziem on the line from the John Deere Classic. I'm Ed Stevenson, and Rory Spears. And
hey, Ed, we haven't gotten Len's prediction of who's going to walk away with the prancing deer trophy on Sunday afternoon. Len, anybody jump out to you yet?
Well, I tell you, one that's just—he's not going to—I don't know—predicting him win. But Patrick Flavin, he's added a couple of birdies and climbing into a tie for 17th, so that's pretty good. I tell you, I'm intrigued by the different kind of leaderboard that this one has with the some very good young players up there. Poston has got that four shot lead, and he's dominated the tournament right on through. I think we're going to see. It's very possible he could be a wire to wire winner, and they've had some of those in the past year too. It would take a lot of the take away the drama from it, but so far I haven't seen anybody who's even played close to him over the first two rounds. We'll know a lot more after we see round three today.
You know, Len, you know who was making a charge yesterday was the champion from a couple of years ago, Dylan Fratelli, who still hasn't won another tournament, I believe, since he won the John Deere Classic in 2019. And he hooked his drive on the 17th hole, the par 5, and they found the ball, and it was actually embedded in a tree. Wow. And he argued with the rules official, expecting some kind of relief, and didn't get it, and wasn't real happy about it. It came out online yesterday, and it seems to have slowed him up a little bit. But last time I checked, he's still in the top 25. And, you know, sometimes like that, you get a situation like that in golf, Billy and Ned, as you know, that it can really take the steam and momentum out of you, and you're not quite there the rest of the way. Or it can make you mad enough to really go out and turn the jets on and perhaps make it all the way to the winner's circle. So, Len, I don't know if Dylan spoke more about that or not, but kind of a crazy situation there at TPC Deer Run.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that full story, all the details of that one. But he played very well the year he won here and was a very good interview and supporter of the tournament the following year when he came back that he unsuccessfully, but he tried to defend his title. You look at the leaderboard now, his name is as good as any for amongst the people up there in contention because, he's at least he's done it before. So he's certainly worth watching.
Well, how you handle adversity when the flag is up and the tournament's on the line says a lot about somebody. And someone here locally who we know has hosted trophies a lot as well as competed in major championships, the PGA Championship on multiple occasions. Mike Small, the coach from University of Illinois, mentioned it earlier, won one of Illinois PGA's majors that I got to see firsthand. It was hosted out at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, which is one of the courses I oversee on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, from the 30,000-foot view, Mike Small played even par over the last four holes. But you're looking a little closer, and he was on the 15th hole. He was, it's a par 5. He'd hit a massive drive, and he had a 9-iron in his hands to get home in two. Missed the green, ended up making a bogey on that hole. So you think a little bit of adversity there. He got up on the 16th hole. It's was played to set up as a drivable par 4 that day, and he did. He drove it just past pin high, drained the putt for eagle. So he goes bogey, eagle. He bogeys the par 3 16th and makes a tough up and down on 18 to win, defeating Danny Mulhern, who had had the lead going into the final round. So, responding to adversity and hanging on and elevating yourself to the win is something that that winners do and champions do, and was a lot of fun to see University of Illinois coach Mike Small collect yet another championship.
Yep. Well, Ed, and we're getting short on time. I just want to let everybody know that coming up on GolfersOnGolf.com, we'll have some wrap-up from this week regarding the John Deere Classic. We'll hear a little more from Kevin Streelman and Nick Hardy, and next week we're going to put out some of the stuff that we gathered while being in Wilmington, Delaware this week for the BMW Championship Media Day. Visited the club and another local golf course and talked to a few people there, and including spent some time with Governor John Carney, who the governor of the state, who came out to enjoy Media Day and sit around and talk to the media about golf and golf in the state. It'll be good stuff.
All right. Well, hey, time for us to hole out here. We want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. And thank you, Len Zeem, for bringing us a taste of the John Deere Classic from Silvis, Illinois. We'll look forward to seeing you in person again sometime soon. But until next week at 10 o'clock, we wish everyone a very happy, healthy, and safe Independence Day weekend. We thank our producer, Brian, for getting us out to you. And take advantage of this July weather. Go play, everybody. Thanks.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.